This is Digital Story Podcast number 682, April 9th, 2019. Today's theme is Spark Joy by Organizing Our Camera Gear. I'm Derek Story. Marie Kondo is a best-selling author who hosts a show on Netflix titled Tidying Up. Her mission is to spark joy through cleaning and organizing using the KonMari method. She attacks clutter by organizing a home into five categories: clothing, books, paper, kimono, and sentimental items. As photographer, our gear falls into the kimono category, and that is the focus of today's TDS podcast. So even though I've never seen Marie address photography gear specifically, her system lends itself well to what we are doing. And I see our mission as twofold. First of all, we want to avoid redundancy in our cameras and lenses. We don't want to have three items that serve the same function. We want to have as little equipment as possible, but still meet all the needs that we have. Second, we want to provide organized access to the items that we do use. We want to know where they are. We don't want to lose things. We want it to be clean, and we want it to be secure. So those are our two challenges when we try to adopt this system into one that works for us. Now, I've been doing this for some time, and I can tell you there are two things that come out of embracing this. The first one is that in the beginning, I felt like I was spending a little bit more time maintaining a system than I was before. However, what I learned is that I earned that back with dividends. In other words, by not losing stuff, by having my stuff ready to go, you know, by keeping things secure, I ended up being more efficient by spending a little extra time up front organizing and putting stuff into specific areas. The second thing, and this is something that Marie addresses in her show, Tidying Up, is that it makes me feel good. And that is hard to describe. I know that maybe it sounds a little bit like the ramblings of a madman to say that, you know, when I open up the cabinet and I see all of my gear organized neatly, that it makes me smile. But the fact of the matter is, it does make me smile, it does make me feel good, and it is lighter. In other words, I feel lighter as a result. So this modified system that I have for you is based upon my own sort of organizational tendencies, and then augmented by some valuable things that I have learned from Marie Kondo. And I think it's really fun, and I've managed to distill it into five steps for you. And I'm sure that's not a surprise, but I have five steps that will lead you towards organizational nirvana. Let's get started with it. The first one is make a list of all the gear that you own. And this is really important, and I'll explain why in just a second. On the show, when Marie helps people work through their clothing, which is a big task for a lot of folks. They have too much clothing, they don't know where stuff is, and it's just a mess. What she has them do is take all the clothing that they have, put it out on the bed. And you have to see it all just piled on the bed there to really get your head around, you know, how much stuff you have. When it's hidden in the closet, you know, you can, well, you can sort of play games with yourself and say, well, I don't have that much, I never have anything to wear. But when it's on the bed in a big heap, there's nowhere to hide. There it is. You have all this stuff. So what she has you do is get all that stuff out there so you can really identify what you have. And that's what we need to do with our camera gear too. Now, I'm not saying that you should spread all your camera gear out on the bed. Now, you can do that if you want. Generally speaking, I think a helpful way to do this is to make a list of all your camera gear, because by doing so, you can later take that list and break it into categories, move things around, mark stuff for sale, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think a list is sort of a virtual adaptation of taking all the clothing and putting it on the bed. Instead, we're taking all of our cameras and our lenses and our important accessories, and we're putting them on a list. So that way we can see what we really have. We can stare at it and go, wow, I did not realize I had 3 35-105 zooms, right? Number two, once you get that list, or once you get everything out on the bed, or however you do it, Then you want to organize your gear by category. This is very important because by organizing your gear by category, and that's really the basis of her organizational system too, is that she works with categories, and these categories then fit into containers, and these containers then fit into spaces, and on and on and on. So, you know, the category aspect of it is not only important psychologically, but it becomes important physically as you start to put the stuff into, you know, whatever storage units you're going to use. Now, for example, I have one kit for my public relations clients, and that is work that I do out in the field. That is event coverage. You know, I'm taking a kit, I'm putting it in a car, and I'm going somewhere, I'm pulling it out, I'm walking with it, I'm shooting, I'm putting it back into the bag, you know, that kind of stuff. So I have a category for my public relations, my events work, you know, the stuff that I'm out and about. I have another category for my personal travel, because when it's just me and I don't have a client to answer to, my gear is completely different. When I'm going out to work for a client, I have to come back with the shots. That is imperative. That's part of being a professional. When it's just me, I can go a lot leaner. I don't have to cover my tail nearly as much. And I can take more risks with the gear that I carry. And in all honesty, I can travel much lighter. So my personal travel kit is much different than my professional kit for my public relations clients. My third major category is my portrait and studio work. And again, this is a completely different area for me because now I'm working in a room here at the studio. I have, you know, backdrops and I have lights. And I have cameras with motor drives and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I have heavier lenses because they tend to be wide aperture lenses so that I can work in lower light or so that I can make the background softer, all that kind of stuff. So that is another category. So those are three examples of categories that I've established to organize my gear in. Whatever categories you have, you want to really think them through because, again, the categories that you establish, it's like a math problem. And, you know, whatever you do at the beginning of the math problem really affects every step that follows. The same is true for these categories. Third on the list, review your categories for redundancies. Now, this does a couple things. First of all, it helps you really think about, you know, how you're going to use the gear in that category. And then the second thing that it does, it allows you to thin out the gear that you have. And part of tidying up is getting rid of extra stuff. Most of us have extra stuff. And especially if we're not embracing some sort of organizational system. But how do you know what to get rid of and how do you know what to keep? Well, going through these steps of, you know, getting everything out on the bed, so to speak, and then putting it into categories, and then looking at those categories and saying, all right, I have a lens to do this, I have a lens to do this, I have a body to do this, I have a body to do this, I have a grip to do this, on and on and on. And then I have these lenses, which are redundant, you know, for the lenses that I pick. I have these bodies, which are redundant. I have these bags that are redundant, on and on and on. So then you begin to tighten up your categories, because now you're only putting the stuff in the category that after a lot of thought and some real soul searching that you really need, and then you have a stack that's next to it, either on a list or again on the bed, of the stuff that is, in all honesty, redundant and that you don't need. Now, the stuff that's redundant, this is a cash-generating opportunity for you because chances are that it's quite good, right? Chances are, regardless of how many zoom lenses you have purchased over the years, that most of them are pretty darn good. Now, you may have one or two that you favor, but, you know, they're all probably quite decent and might fit perfectly into someone else's category. So then that stuff that ends up being the redundant gear, that goes into its own category, its own container. And then you can start thinking about, all right, how am I going to move this along? Am I going to donate it? Am I going to sell it? Am I going to, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to hand it down to someone in the family? If you are working off the list, as you start moving these items around, these list items around, then you will have your categories, and then you will have the redundant stuff, and then you can start earmarking the stuff that's redundant for what's going to happen to it next. Number four, then, is that you create storage units that are organized by the categories that you've established. If you have, for example, a out and about kit, then it needs a container, it needs a home. If you have your traveling light kit, it needs a home. It needs to go into something. Now, there's a couple suggestions that I have for containers. One of them, which I'm sure all of us have, are old camera bags. Old camera bags make great organizational containers, especially ones that have a rectangular shape. And rectangular forms are very important to Marie, because the thing about rectangular forms is that they slide into other containers, they slide into shelves, they are space efficient. And one of the things that she does, for example, going back to the clothes idea, is that once you know what clothes that you're keeping, let's say your shirts, let's say that your t-shirts, you have t-shirts and you fold your t-shirts, then what she does is fold them into rectangles and then stack them so that they're standing up inside some sort of container. Let's say a container that is the shape of a shoebox, or it could even be a shoebox. Then these shirts will be standing up so that as you look down on this rectangular container, the shoebox, you can see every shirt that's in there. You can grab the one that you want, and it comes out and it's nice and neat and folded and ready to wear. So these rectangular shaped containers, or in our case, camera bags, are really terrific storage containers, because you open them up and you look down into them and the gear can be organized so that we can see what we want right away. But then the bags themselves store into other containers such as cabinets and shelving. Another good tip for your storage stuff are these trays that I got at IKEA. And they're stackable trays. Now, the ones that I got, I really like. I've had them for a while now. They are wood trays, and they're about, oh, I don't know, maybe 3 inches deep. And I actually think I'll run one of them as a picture in the show notes. And I use them to keep my lenses in, and then they stack on top of one another. So let's say that you have a shelf that is, let's say, 18 inches high. Instead of just having one tray in there and then all that extra space that's not being used above the tray on that shelf, if you stack two trays or three trays if you have room, then suddenly you're really maximizing your storage space. You can just slide these containers out, look at them, see what's in them, grab what you want, and then slide them back into the shelving system. So I love these stackable trays. I think they work really well. Along with camera bags, and then along with stackable boxes that have lids, for especially good for accessories and items that maybe can be in there. A little looser filters might be a good example of something that would be very good in a stackable box, okay? So think in terms of getting as rectangular as you can with these containers. And that, you know, some items are better for old camera bags, some items are better for trays, and some items are better for stackable boxes. Now, number five, once you get this all set up, so you've organized your stuff, you have your categories are now in containers that are very space efficient, and then you have a place, a secure place to put these containers, then you have to embrace the system. In other words, you have to get in the habit of returning gear to its assigned space, because if you don't get in that habit, it will all fall apart. In other words, let's say that you get this nice system set up, you go out on a shoot, you come back, and then, you know, later that night or the next day, whenever you have time, you don't put the stuff back where it belongs. Well, then what happens is it will begin, your whole system will begin to unravel very quickly. Now, one of the things that I do, and this works really well for me, is that I don't necessarily feel compelled to put the stuff away right when I get back from a shoot, because I usually have a number of things that I have to do at that moment. One of those things is usually answer email or phone calls for people that were looking for me during the shoot. So I have to do that. I'm usually anxious to look at the pictures themselves, so I want to get those loaded into the computer and, you know, breathe that sigh of relief that comes when you get to see those thumbnails across your screen and they're sharp and they're well exposed and you go, okay, you know I have stuff to work with here. So there are a number of things that happen right when I get back from the shoot. So what I do is that I save that step of, you know, returning my gear to its proper category area when I need a break. And this is one thing that I do that actually works with another aspect of my life, which is trying to stay healthy, right? Trying to stay healthy, making sure that I get up and do something every hour, that I just don't sit at the computer for hours on end, making sure that I get a bike ride or a walk in every day, you know, all that kind of stuff, so that I sleep better at night and hopefully, you know, I have a quality of life that goes for a long time. So I like to have physical tasks to do to break up my computer work. So what I do is I save things like this as one of those physical tasks that I can do when I just need a break. And this works on so many levels because, you know, I'm working at the computer, dealing with whatever I'm dealing with there. It's usually people. Sometimes I'm trying to tame technology, whatever it happens to be. Then I go, okay, it's time for a break. I need to get up. I need to stretch my legs. I need to move around. So then I get to do this fun thing where I go up and I go upstairs and I get the gear from the shoot that was either earlier in the day or the day before. And I say, I'm going to put this away right now. I open up my cabinet. I see all this nice organization. Suddenly, even if I was dealing with someone that was troublesome online just a few minutes ago, I'm not thinking about them anymore. I have that little bit of spark joy from looking at my cool system. I return my gear to the proper area there. I feel even better now because I'm more organized, moved around a bit, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then I go back to the computer and I go back to work. So this works on a number of different levels. You know, you have a couple different things going on, which is, again, efficient and which really does make me smile. I love being efficient at work, especially, you know, I like to play. I do. I like to play. And I use, this is a little bit of a digression, but if I have, let's say, a new film camera body come in, I'm just chomping at the bit to, you know, clean and restore a little bit. And maybe I've never worked with that particular camera before. I'm all excited about that. So I save that. I save that little bit of away from the computer work for one of these breaks to, you know, refocus my mind on something else, refocus my eyes on something else, do something with my hands other than type, that kind of stuff. So, you know, creating this sort of rhythm so that you're not just always stuck doing this one thing all day and that you're breaking it up, you're adding variety to your day. By adding variety to your day, I guarantee you're going to feel better, not to mention getting a little bit of exercise in there to boot. So get in the habit of returning the gear to its assigned space after use. But it doesn't have to be right after use. You know, think about your system for maintaining your system, right? Since I have started using this system that I'm describing, which is, you know, sort of a little bit of Derek, a little bit of Marie Kondo, you know, a little bit of just craziness, I have to tell you that I am as pleased and excited working with my gear as I am taking pictures. And, you know, we all hear this stuff, hey, it's all about the photography, it's all about the artist, not about the gear. Well, that's just not true for me. It's about all of it. It's about going out and meeting people. It's about going to different places. It's about the art. It's about creating a beautiful image. And it's about the physicalness of the gear. I like it all, and it's all part of it. But messy gear, unorganized gear, too much gear, redundancy in your gear that is not necessarily something that makes me happy. In fact, that starts to pull me down. That starts to, you know, weigh on me a bit. And since I have switched to this system and I don't have that problem, nothing is weighing on me, then my gear becomes pure joy. It just becomes pure joy. And I want you to have that as well. So I hope that one or two of these tips are interesting to you and something that maybe you can incorporate into your organization. If you're one of those people that have been procrastinating on organizing, I think this system I outlined is a very good start. And again, it's very simple, just 5 steps. And I'm going to review them right now, and then we'll move on to the next story, which is related and fun as well. The 5 steps are: make a list of all the gear that you own. Spread it on the bed, make a list, however you do it. Organize that gear by category. I use it by type of assignments that I cover. Review the categories for redundancies. In other words, do you have 3 lenses that do the same thing in a category? Chances are good that 2 of them can go away. Number 4, create storage units that are organized by the categories that you've established, and think about old camera bags, stackable trays, and stackable boxes. Rectangular is the key to success in this. And then finally, get in the habit of returning gear to its assigned space after you use it. Doesn't have to be right away, but let's say within 24 hours. How does that work? Have fun with this. And if you like what I'm saying, or if you have additional thoughts, or if you just think I'm just a crazy person that you love listening to, please comment on our Facebook post that will be here covering this podcast. 10 life hacks for your photo studio. And I can't tell you how many times this happens. You know, I come up with the idea for the show. I have a theme. I'm usually excited about the main story, and then I want to augment it with another story. I like doing that. I like having the variety in our topics. And then there'll be something that just got published that fits in perfectly, and that happened again today. This time on Petapixel. This story is on Petapixel. Of course, the link is in the show notes, as it always is. And it's called 10 Life Hacks for Your Photo Studio. What this author says is having a photography studio is fun. And then I'm going to add in that could be at home, you know, it can be at work. You know, we all have different versions of a studio. But it's even more fun when you start applying simple and cheap solutions plus common sense to make your shooting experience and your client's experience smoother. This is the list of what I think are the smartest and most useful photography studio life hacks. And he's got a nice little list of 10 things here. I'm just going to read you the headliners here, the list items themselves. I'm not going to go into how he uses all of them. You can click over to the article if you're interested in that. But I do want to give you what he considers these items that are studio enhancing, shall we say. First one is transparent rubber hairbands. And by the way, I fully embrace this one. They're great. You can use them for so many things. They have a little different quality than just a regular rubber band. And once you start using these things, you'll find a million uses for them, almost all of them good. Another one is wine boxes. And wine boxes, you know, the wooden wine boxes are terrific. You can stand on them. They're stackable. There's you can use them for storage. Super handy. IKEA pegboard. And this is something I want to bring into my studio. I want a pegboard in my studio. I've got all these circular reflectors, these collapsible reflectors. I got all these accessories that all have loop handles. And I was just thinking, wow, if I had this really cool pegboard, I could organize these things so that not only are they just like right there and very organized, but it would look cool as well. So I'm very high on the IKEA pegboard. It's something that I'm going to look into. Shelf rails and wood, and he uses these in a number of different ways, some that are surprising. It's definitely worth a look. Metal clips and magnets. I love the little metal clips, the ones with the arms that fold back, and they're used for paper. For, you know, lawyers use them a lot for, you know, these heavy-duty briefs and stuff like that. These little metal clips, I have in 3 different sizes. I use them for a million things, and I think they are super handy in the studio. And then he added magnets to it, which I don't have, but I'm going to take a closer look at that. shoe rack. He uses a shoe rack for all sorts of stuff, storing umbrellas, paper rolls, all that. Elastic ropes and clips. That's pretty nice and pretty interesting stuff. This next one is great, and this is a tip that I did not have. Door stoppers, you know, those little rubber door stoppers that you can use to keep a door from closing behind you if you want it to stay open. One of the ways that he uses door stoppers is for his seamless paper that he has on a roll, you know, that has a pole going through it. My problem is that I want the paper to be at a specific tension, and it never does. It just keeps rolling, and then you kind of roll it back up and all. He uses the door stoppers to stick up in the roll between the pole and the roll. And, you know, you just push them in so far to where you get it to stop. He does them on both ends. This is cool. So I'm going to embrace this one right away. I love that idea. And then there's some other uses for them as well. Silver reflector backdrop. Now, these next two are things that are kind of cool for portrait backgrounds. But he shows some nice techniques for using both a silver reflector backdrop and neon tubes and PVC corrugated roofing sheets as cool backdrops. And the shots that he does with this are really neat and something also worth incorporating into your shooting. And this is where you can kind of create some neat effects that feel like outdoors, but they're actually inside your studio. So a nice little complimentary article to go with our main theme today, and it's called 10 Life Hacks for Your Photo Studio. It's on Petapixel, and I have the link in the show notes. I have a workshop update for the Sonoma Coast Workshop. We had a cancellation, and that means that a seat has opened up, so I've gone back into the workshops page, you know, where you can put your deposit down for a workshop, and I've opened up one seat there. If you're interested in joining us this July, this beautiful home that we have just south of Bodega Bay, overlooking, you know, Doran Beach, that's going to be our headquarters, and we have a number of activities lined up on the itinerary. I'm still refining it, but we're going to do some long exposure work with water. We're going to visit areas where movies have been shot in the area, and we're going to do some photography there. And then we're going to watch some of those movies. We're going to perfect our nature and landscape photography technique and have lab together. You know, all the fun stuff that we do at our workshops in this wonderful setting. Bodega Bay is a great place to be in July, and especially if you live somewhere that's hot and sticky. You will not want to leave once you come out to this workshop. You'll want to just stay there, believe me, because it will be wonderfully comfortable. So if you're interested in joining us this July, just go to thenimblephotographer.com, and right away, that very first page will show you the workshop. You will see the Sonoma Coast Workshop. There'll be one seat open. All you have to do is put down a $100 deposit, and then I'll follow up with you and walk you through the registration process, show you the itinerary, all that kind of stuff, if you want to do that. And if you don't want to do that, if you take a look at everything really closely and decide, not perfect for me, then of course your $100 is 100% refundable. I hope you can join us this July. We're going to have a great time. We have a great crew already. And we've got room for one more. Maybe that will be you. I want to welcome our new Inner Circle members. Thanks so much for joining us and for becoming a part of our Patreon support for this podcast. Right now on our Patreon site, on our Inner Circle site, we have a Q&A going for our Inner Circle members where they can discuss, ask questions, find out what I think about these high-end pocket cameras that I've been talking about, the Fujifilm XF10, the Ricoh GR3. Covered them in last week's podcast, but we have a Q&A going on now where you can ask me questions. I have both cameras on hand right now. I like them both. They each have their strengths. Can't miss with either one, but one might be a little better for you. So if you're a Patreon member, take a look at the site. If you have any questions, you know, if you want more information about maybe the best approach for a super nimble camera that gives you super high resolution, then join that Q&A and I will get back to you as soon as possible. And a big thanks to all of our Patreon members who support this podcast. You are the folks that are keeping the lights on. I so appreciate it, and so does everyone else. I want to mention that we have tiles in the second column on every page of the Digital Story for both B&H and Amazon. If you are going to make a purchase there, especially if it's something that I've talked about, if you would go to the Digital Story first, click on that tile. That'll take you over to those sites, whether it's B&H or Amazon. Make your purchase, but then it's part of my affiliate program, and that helps support this podcast. And I'm working on a special deal right now with B&H. If we pull it off, it's going to be really fun, and I think you're going to enjoy it. More to come on that in a future show. In the meantime, though, like I said, if you're going to make a purchase at either spot, if you just go to Digital Story first, click on the tile, then go over to the site, you're in great shape, and you help out the show. And finally, be sure to visit our friends at Red River Paper. They are the people that put something really corny. They put the P in printing, right? Oh, they're wonderful folks. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. It takes you over to our landing page. But then from there, you can navigate to the tutorials, to the reviews, to all the different printing surfaces, to the ancillary supplies, to ink, just about everything that you would need. They have an ongoing blog that covers general photography, and they have a Facebook page, facebook.com/redriverpaper, that has ongoing conversation. These people support the Digital Story printing community. We are so happy to have them as part of our community, and I think if nothing else, it gives me the opportunity to talk about the virtues of printing every week, and that how satisfying printing can be. You know, when you visualize a subject, you capture it, you know, you edit it, you work it, and then you make a print of it and you have something that you can hand to another person. This is a beautiful thing, and Red River Paper helps us do that by providing the knowledge and the tools to do that, to make beautiful imagery that we can hand to other people. Big thanks to Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. They have a tile on every page. Click on it and explore the world of printing. You will not be sorry, I promise you. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed our Spark Joy episode and that maybe you can bring a little bit more organization to your life, lighten up a bit, and I mean equipment-wise, and make yourself even more happy than you are now. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Please come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.